Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Does this help?
Oh my God.
Does this help for all the nervous Avalanche fans out there? Does this help? Does this make you feel a little better, a little bit more relaxed, a little bit happier, a little bit more confident?
Yes, yes. I've got nothing but confidence, Mike. Nice bounce back, a rebound. They're going to be ready to roll. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
So if you're nervous, if you're worried, if you're anxious, relax and turn this up. And rolling on this Friday morning.
A little
few clouds out there. That's all right. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's going to be a gorgeous day.
We get things rolling here on a Friday. And is it just me Friday, where, of course, we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest heading off into this long Memorial Day weekend? So.
I kind of forgot about that.
It is. So enjoy that and hit us up. RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. It can be about anything and everything, world of sports and beyond. And go. So, is it just me? I'll start this off. Is it just me, or I'm very confident about tonight. I think the Avalanche bounce back. Until I see evidence completely to the contrary, I'm not buying into second round curses. I'm not buying into playoff failures of the past. I believe this team. I believe in this team.
It should be. There's no reason not to believe in this team. Now, I know there's a lot of, you know, the chicken little Marilettes out there that saw the collapse of Game 5 and, oh, gosh, here they go again. It's bad. Hey, come on. I mean, you're up like that. The other team has folded. You let down your guard. And you know, those things happen. I mean, that's why we love sports, man. It's a soap opera. I will say this, though. I am concerned about Kemps. There's a level of concern there. Not like panic button concern.
Enough to bench him?
Not enough to bench him. But enough to basically say, I got my eye on you. You know, with the finger point, like two eyes, boom, point back at him. I got my eyes on you, Kemps. Which, I'm a believer. I'm a believer in looking over your shoulder. I'm a believer in pressure. I just think it's good. I think having pressure on you to perform. I mean, that's what this game is about. That's what every game is about. Perform or sit down. So I don't have any problem with hey man, you're on the clock, dude. Your leash is short. I mean, I know it's a kinder, gentler world and we're not allowed to tell people, you know, we're watching them or their job is on the line because, oh, my goodness, you know, we're going to spend 7 weeks out with fake COVID. Like, I get that we've got this world where we're not allowed
to
tell
the truth.
Yeah, we're not allowed to tell the truth, you know. But the bottom line, I can't wait. Text coming our way in 3, 2, 1. Well, my way, anyhow. Mm-hmm. But, I don't have any issue with it, man. I just think that that's the way it should be.
I don't have a problem with pressure either, but I do believe that, and we saw this after game two, sometimes after a loss, there's this immediate knee-jerk reaction to make changes and make adjustments.
Right.
My feeling is after a loss like that, your first adjustment that you make is you expect your best players to be better
right
in that next game. That is my adjustment. My adjustment is, okay, you guys let off the gas. Our best players, save for McKinnon, let us down. We're going to trust you, and we're going to expect and demand of you to be better in this game. That's the adjustment. That's the immediate adjustment. I don't make sweeping changes.
No. Would you make an adjustment with Brandon? Would you move him down?
Ooh.
Because, I mean, Brandon missed a point blanker on the doorstep.
Yeah, no, he's been missing the net a lot in these playoffs. You hear a lot of that. Brandon shoots, misses the net. Right. Mm. A lot of that. No, you're right. Move Landeskog back up.
Mm-hmm.
Rantanen down.
Yeah.
I'd think about it. But again, I think that would fall under the category of before I go make big changes like that, I'm going to expect and demand my best players to be better tonight. So that is what the move I would make. That's the move I wouldn't make big moves. The move I would make is I'm challenging my best guys to be better.
Yeah.
Better than you were in game three, be better than you were in game two. They were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we are here in game six. Be better than you were in game five.
Right.
Now, game six doesn't go the Avs way. Now we talk. Now all bets are off.
Right, now there's the potential of panic move.
Yeah.
Of panic button. McCarr, be better than you've been. You know, there was a week there where you're the greatest player on the face of the planet.
You're talking about you as the GOAT.
Yeah. Be better than you've been. Brandon, be better than you've been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much better MacKinnon can be than he was the other night.
You just do what you're... Kemper, be better.
Kemper, be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's all... I think it's fair.
So, where is your level of confidence heading into Game 6? This one, is it just me, or did all the 6 a.m. texters wake up today with some extra butt pucker going on? The 8 a.m.ers don't yet realize how big tonight's game is. If the Avs lose tonight, momentum is completely gone, and I think they lose Game 7 at home. Not that I think it'll happen, but just a reminder, back in 2001-02 season, last time the Avs won the Cup, this scenario did occur in the second round of the playoffs. They were up 3-1, they lost Game 5 at home, they lost Game 6 in L.A., came back home Game 7-1.
Correct. So if you're telling me Sakic and Footer and Blake and Borgie are going to line up and Forsberg and Waugh are lining up, then I have a lot of confidence in them in Game 7.
What? Hey, details.
She's got a stack of Hall of Famers lined up for
us. Details, Mark. Details.
All right.
We're off. We are rolling. We'll get to some Is It Just Me's and... I'll ask as part of the question, are you thinking of the second round curse right now? Plus, we'll hear from Pat Surtain. Just how much of an individual impact can this guy make in this high-powered division? That's next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
No surprise, the early wave of Is It Just Me's on an Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest. A lot of it Avalanche related. Is it just me, or is tonight the night the Avs crush St. Louis under their yarbles? Is it just me, or if the Avs lose tonight, they will lose the series? Well, let's tackle that one. I thought it was interesting after the game when they lost, the TNT crew, which I really have been enjoying the TNT hockey crew. I think they do a really good job. And Henrik Lundqvist, King Henry, was...
Hank, I call him.
Hank, was talking about how you can't look... After a loss like this, you can't look at, we have to go to St. Louis and right this wrong, and we have to win. You have to look at it more as an opportunity and look at from the optimistic part of it. You're playing mind games with yourself.
Right.
And the optimism of the opportunity of going to end the series. You can't dwell on, well, we just blew this game, so we have to go grab that one. Otherwise, we have to come back for a winner and take all game seven. So you have to put it in your mind, this is an opportunity. It's not must win. And then Rick Tocchet followed up by saying, hey, you lose this kind of game in February, Jared Bednar is peeling the paint off the walls, getting after you. But after a playoff game like this, it's more, hey, we're good, we're okay, right. Nothing to see here.
So, okay, let me ask you this. So put on your coaching cap. your exceptionally large large coaching cap.
It might be the biggest coaching cap
right
in the history of humanity.
It's custom made. put your coaching cap. If you're Bednar, what do you do? How do you address your team? How do you prepare for this game?
I treat it like businesses. Tonight we're preparing like it's another game. We've got our system. We know what works. We know we're the better team. Now go prove it. I wouldn't be big into big game speeches or anything like that. I'd say I wouldn't even really acknowledge much of what happened the other night, other than, hey, here's some film clips of what we could have done better.
Right.
I don't make game five a thing.
Right. And the other thing, I don't think I make a whole lot of adjustments game five. I think what I end up doing, Mike, is I end up taking cherry picking clips and saying, okay, let's look at us when we're at our best. And I show clips from the first period, the domination of the first period, you know, and the hustle and the effort and where they were and how they played that. And then I show when they were skating on their heels and how they lost their aggressiveness and how the neutral zone was no longer a problem to get through. And I just juxtapose those two aspects of the game and go, when we play like this, we're unbeatable. Un-freaking beatable. And we play like this, we're beatable.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, that's a you decision. You can decide to play on your heels, or you can decide to continue. Hey, if you make a mistake, and we always said this as players, like I had this kid, love him. He's a son to me, Elliot Coffey. I came in right when his father was retiring in Washington, and his dad, Ken Coffey. And so Elliot got signed as a free agent here in Denver. He ended up living in my house for 2 years with us, right, while I was trying to make the Broncos. And then I ended up getting him signed when he got cut twice by the Broncos. Again, he was signed in Houston. He played special teams in Houston for a little bit. But anyhow, because of my relationship with that GM, I said, hey, man, give this kid a chance. Unbelievable athletic. Probably the issue that Elliot had more than anything else was not his football skills or his physicality. It's his need to diagnose things and be a step slow. And my advice to him is, this is football. Sometimes you just got to go blow stuff up.
You almost swore that.
Yeah. And sort it out. Like, if you make a mistake from a coach's standpoint, if you make a mistake flying around at 100 miles an hour and trying to rip somebody's head off, guess what? We'll put up with the mistake. As long as you don't keep repeating mistakes, right? But when you make a mistake of passivity, when you're just kind of playing on your heels and unaggressive and playing not to get beat as opposed to beating somebody's butt, like that's how you get into a lull like they did the other night. So that would be my message. That would be my message to my team.
On this, is it just me Friday? Is it just me or Pat Surtain, the next time he gets a chance, needs to blast Mahomes? He better do it. Well, speaking of PS2, Broncos OTA yesterday, he talked with the media afterwards about what's next for him after a strong showing in his rookie year.
I think the next step is just keep on building on that, keep on growing, keep on learning every day, because, you know, in the league, you learn from experience. So that's the best thing about it, is growing and, you know, utilizing your time wisely so you can understand what it takes to be a pro in this league. So that's what I'm doing.
What kind of individual impact, what kind of individual difference can he make when it comes to this division and the quarterbacks you go up against?
Well,
how much, what should we expect of him?
So if you're looking, Mike, if you're looking for statistics, you know, like it's like a great pass rusher. We always measure a pass rusher. We always measure the impact of a player, edge player. I'm not even just an edge player, on the number of sacks he has. And we're like, he only had 6.5 sacks. He must not have been very good. And then if you go back and watch and really understand the defense, how many opportunities did he get to rush the passer? How many times did he drop back? How many times was he double-teamed? How many times did they line the tight end up over there? Like, you have to start looking at the overall impact. Like, hey, listen, every time he rushed the passer, they had to keep a tight end or a back end. So that means instead of getting five out, they're only getting four out. That means instead of having, you know, seven to cover five, now we've got seven to cover four. Like, we've got a matchup. It's a numbers game. It's simple math. And you know, I crush math. Math wants no part of me.
Math is on its heels right now.
Yeah. Watch out, math. Here I come. Stumbling down the tracks like a drunken sailor. Oh, what you going to do about a drunken sailor? Anyhow, so that's the impact. So if you're looking for numbers from Sertan in this division, guess what? Your impact is probably not going to be from numbers. Your impact is going to be from locking a dude out. You see what I'm saying? And like,
so what is the one stat that we should pay the most attention to when it comes to Sertan that will define that he's doing just that?
Well, I'm sure there's a bazillion
targets. How often he's targeted?
Right. But yeah.
What the completion percentage against him is? What?
Well, I would think. Yeah, target, like, the stat nerd stuff. Like, what targets against, how many times they threw it his way, you know, passes defended, you know, and completion percentage. Because a lot of times, when you're an elite-level corner, like, if you look at Darrell Revis when he was Revis Island, there's so many times where teams were just like, we ain't throwing it
not
on
today.
That side.
Yep.
Not today, man. We're just not throwing it over there. And so he never was. He probably never led the league in interceptions. I mean,
but the dude got paid a lot.
And let me just tell you, hands and feet, dude. He was an elite level left tackle playing corner. I've never seen a dude with better hands and feet. And he couldn't outrun you, Mike. But boy, I tell you what, that guy was. He that guy's Hall
he,
of Famer.
He couldn't.
He could outrun you.
Yeah, but, okay, that's what I thought.
I mean, you know what I'm using you.
Hyperbole much?
Yeah, I'm using you to make a dramatic point that he wasn't a great runner.
Point made. Coming up, we've got the Morning Brew for you. More on the Avs Blues Game 6. And who's waiting for the Avs when they get to the Western Conference Finals? Notice what I just said there. When they get to the Western Conference Finals. That's next.
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs craft being cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What? Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy, this is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
That's all right, Johnny. Don't worry about it. Frozen computer. It happens.
Yes, it does.
Talk to Cluffy about it. So, the Avs and Blues, Game 6, coming up tonight. Where is your level of confidence that the Avs close this out?
Oh, my level of confidence
Where's
is
your
high.
Level of confidence?
I think it's going to be a blowout Avs.
Really? 5-2?
Yeah, 5-2.
Come on now. Be serious.
I am serious. My level of confidence is great. Listen, if they skate the way they skated in that first period, they'll have that energy, that crowd hating them. They'll understand the errors of the way. Bednar, my coach, will be resplendent in a tight European cut suit. I mean, all signs point to the Avs. If the Avs play the way they're capable of playing and they don't sit back, and they won't on the road. They won't. They'll stay aggressive. They'll stay on the attack. And as long as they stay on the attack, guess what? They're going to win this game 5-2.
I think it just comes down to this. As a fan, I got to ask you this question. Do you still think this team carries around the baggage of what's happened in playoffs past? Do you believe in second-round curses? If you do, all right, then you're butt-puckered about tonight.
Right.
If you think this team is different, if you think this team is constructed differently, if you think this team is made of sterner stuff, then you should trust this team. I go with the latter.
All right, yeah, I trust him as well. I'm right there with you.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Draisaitl to McDavid. McDavid shoots. Score! It's over! The Oilers move on!
Oilers radio. When the Avalanche get to the Western Conference Finals, they will play the Edmonton Oilers. Kind of a surprise that they handled Calgary so easily in five. Calgary was the higher seed. Calgary was the team that when I kept trying to tell people St. Louis is the team, you got to, if there's going to be any concern, the team in the West that concerns me the most is St. Louis. People are like, whoa, don't sleep on Calgary. Well, Calgary's gone. Calgary turned out once again to be a playoff phony.
What makes Edmonton tough?
Well, they have what many people believe, maybe up until the other night after what you saw McKinnon do, but many people believe that they have in Connor McDavid the best player in the world. So start there.
Okay.
And they get some other, they got some, and if they, if when the Avalanche.
Yeah, that's pretty, that's not revolutionary from that take. I mean, you hear that every, Connor McDavid is the guy that everybody says when you're watching any of these national broadcasts, they all talk about Connor McDavid being, you know,
they got
the
talent.
Best player in the
they
world.
Got talent. There's no doubt. And plus,
but the TV guys also say that Joel Embiid deserved the MVP. So, you know, you always have to take it with a grain of salt.
Plus, the beauty of this is it would continue the ex-Avalanche as a villain theme. We'd have gone from Matt Duchene to Ryan O'Reilly to Tyson Barrie. Remember Tyson Barrie?
I do remember Tyson Barrie.
He's now oil. He's oil. Next on the Morning Brew.
After 2 years of uncertainty and injuries, the Golden State Warriors have put the splash back in the finals. Final score, Warriors 120, Dallas 110.
Yeah, put the splash. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, the Warriors are back in it. Yeah.
So the Warriors are back in the NBA Finals for the sixth time in the last 8 years. After they dispatched to the Mavericks last night in Game 5, I'll ask Nugget fans, do you feel better about losing to the Warriors knowing that since that series that ended in 5 games, the Warriors have proceeded to go 8-3 in rolling through Memphis and Dallas? Is that one of those situations where I feel better about my team after watching what the team that beat me has gone on to do?
I think so. Right? What did they beat? They beat us in 5. They beat Memphis, Dallas in 5.
Memphis in 6.
But that's a pretty dominant roar through the Western Conference.
That's cruising. I work. Cruising through the Western Conference.
Yeah. Oh, that's just like what the Avs are going to do.
I agree. Same thing. Warrior-like. By the way, have these been, arguably, the worst NBA conference finals ever? In terms of lack of suspense. So, the Eastern Conference Finals, there have been 5 games between Boston and Miami. This series, the Western Conference Finals, 5 games. In both the East and the West, all games decided by an average of 13 points per game. So, 10 games played. 6 of them were decided by double digits. And 9 of the 10 games decided by 9 points or more.
Super duper bad.
No competition, no buzzer beaters, no nail biters. It's almost like, okay, last game was our game, now tonight's your turn. And we'll just kind of go back and forth, exchanging blowouts.
Why is it?
Especially the East has been like that.
Is it because of the three-point line? Because teams that can shoot, you know, no, if you get hot?
Unfortunately, the compete level. That's how I saw it. The compete level in the NBA playoffs is not the same as you see in the NHL playoffs.
The compete level. I don't know. The level of competition would probably be a better way to phrase it.
No, the compete level in terms of how these guys go out and compete every night.
I do not think that saying the compete level is up to the standard that you have set, the very high standard that you have set for, you know, for the lexicon of the show, Mike.
What? What?
Heretofore.
What?
Next,
next on the Morning Brew.
First inning was rough. It looked to me as though the pitchers were sort of in the middle of the plate. I haven't looked at the replay of each and every one of those pitches, but behind the count and pitches in the middle against, you know, a group of hitters are, you know, pretty good.
Now we have Herman Marquez issues again. The guy that's supposed to be the ace has just been horrendous this year. And again, last night, as you just heard Bud say, bad early, was able to hang around for 6 innings, but gave up 5 runs. Rockies lose at Washington, 7-3.
Yeah, it is a Hermann, you know, for a guy who has a 90, you know, can sit 96, 97, and I didn't watch last night's game, but I've watched a bunch of his games. Man, he can't locate his fastball. He just has not been able to locate, you know, locate on the black part of the plate, up, down, in and out. And so he's relied on his off-speed stuff, and his off-speed stuff is, to me, is slider and stuff. Like, that stuff is not great. It's great when you have command of a fastball. When you don't, it becomes, and guys are like, he can't throw a fastball for a strike, so I'm going to sit on, yep. I'm going to sit on everything else.
Yep, and Bud's been clear about that throughout. Says, you want to know what his problem is? Problem is he can't throw fastballs for strikes.
Yeah.
That's his problem. He can't command his fastball, and everything works off of that. By the way, the Rockies with 3 measly runs and 8 measly hits, no doubt feeling the effects of not having Chris Bryant, a.k.a. Tony Stark, in the lineup.
Turn it up!
There you go.
Is he alive or dead? Did he sleep on a prison bed? We'll just pass it there. Casting checks and we shouldn't care.
There he is, folks.
Iron Man.
You're $160 million Iron Man. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning.
That's just mean.
We are so mean. But you know what? Hey, whatever hurt feelings he has, he can buy a lot of tissues with him. He's got the money for it. Coming up on this Is It Just Me Friday, Avalanche fans, who has to step up in order for the Avalanche to pull out a win tonight? Give me 2 or 3 people, and what do they need to do and why? That's next.
Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, happy Friday, everybody. Weekend is within our grasp. Long weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully, take some time to think of everyone who has paid the ultimate sacrifice, protecting our freedoms. Thank you so much. Is it just me Friday? Is it just me, or is tonight the night the Avs are going to need Kemper to actually win a game?
Ooh, I like that.
Let's face it, he has lost 2, and the Avs have had to score 4-plus goals in every other game to win. With the carried-over momentum from Wednesday, St. Louis is going to come out flying, and Kemper has to hold up Brandon in Washington.
Ooh. Yeah, that would be, it'd be great. Kemp needs to win one. Kemp needs to stop some goals. You know what I'm sick of on the broadcast? I am sick of how hard it is to play goalie when you don't face any shots. You know, you're just not warmed up. You haven't seen enough pucks. You know, really? Like, you know how much, you know how, like, it would be like saying, hey, listen, Schlereth gave up a bunch of sacks, and they only threw it 3 times. But it's really hard to pass block when all you've been doing is run blocking, and no, it's not. It's way easier, right? Because that dude has to defend the run consistently, so I take the passive out of pass protection, and I go attack his little butt, or a big butt. I am tired of that stupid narrative, hockey guy. Well, you didn't face a lot of shots, so it's really hard to see the puck. I mean, you're over there. Like, how many times? Here's my deal. If I'm Bednar, you don't get to take that little stupid water bottle out on top of the net with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're taking away his water bottle.
I'm taking away the water bottle.
He has to earn the water bottle back?
Yes, he's got to earn the water bottle. You get 3 shots in the first period, and you're over there sucking water like you did something. Man, am I thirsty. I faced 3 shots.
Soft.
No. No water bottle for Kemps. Boom.
Wow, you're taking away water breaks.
I'm taking away the water breaks. Vic Fangio would not be
happy.
Yeah, is Vic Fangio coaching goalies? Is Vic Fangio coaching goalies for the Avs right now?
He makes sure they're hydrated.
Right. Exactly. We got to have our goalie hydrated. Pat Shurmur, we're actually practicing letting goals go in, letting the puck go in. Like
we were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Are they consulting with Shurmur and Fangio right now?
Please no, please no.
I'm taking away the water bottle.
You're taking away the water bottle.
Water bottle's gone.
You don't get water bottles unless you're actually facing shots.
You don't get water bottles until if you face a couple shots in a row, I'll squirt one from the bench and you got to catch it in your mouth.
But yeah, that is a weak argument. So what, you'd rather be facing a constant barrage of shots with 200-pound men in front of you,
mm-hmm,
trying to obscure your view. Oh, by the way, crashing into you, bumping into you. You've got to slide from post to post, try to cut down angles. You're taking shots off the face mask. Sure, every shot that comes through, you don't know if it's going to be deflected or not, and you're constantly paranoid about that. Or you could sit back at the other end of the ice and watch your team tilt the ice in their favor, and you could just face the occasional shot every couple minutes or so. I wonder what I would sign up for.
Right, exactly. Come on.
This text. Ooh, second round. Ooh, second round. So scary. Hold me. That's good. I like that.
I do like that.
I like that. That's a strong.
Boo.
Yeah, boo, second round. What you gonna do when the second round comes around?
I used to love my son's coach in college, Andy Lopez.
Baseball coach at University of Arizona.
Andy Lopez, would not tolerate, and he was making fun of. Yeah, I mean, he was like old school coach. And they lost a series to Cal State Fullerton. And he came out in a Fullerton hat with a couple of guys that didn't play well. And he'd have the Fullerton hat. He'd come out and go, like when they warming up, ooh, are you spooked? Are you spooked? Are you scared? Ooh, yeah. Just being the ultimate Richard Nine. I love that about him.
And the players didn't crumble?
No, they didn't.
They didn't crumble?
They didn't crumble.
They didn't cry?
They didn't cry. No. They didn't go call the AD and say, coach, it's being mean to us.
Although, what ended up ending his run there?
I don't know what did. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just kind of curious.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
He just retired.
His ways did not backfire on him.
But no, because his ways would have backfired on him if they weren't winning national championships and they weren't always in the playoffs. You know, if they were a sub-500 team, he probably would have, faced the wrath.
Guys, I'm loving the Chris Bryant Iron Man stuff. Is it just me, or should Stink always riff?
Iron Man is deep. That is. He should change his walk-up music.
Now that would be kind of like that would be just awesome, self-deprecating,
right?
Poke fun at yourself. Hey, listen, I get it. I'm the $168 million man. And I haven't been able to play in a month because I slept on a jail bed.
Right.
I know, that looks pretty weak. So I'll have a little fun with it. I'll come up to bat to Iron Man.
Yeah, you're right.
That'd be cool.
That would be fun.
He'd earn a lot of respect from me.
Take one hack and then tap your helmet. I'm out. That's my back again. It's just, it really bothered me. It's really bothered me. Oh.
All right.
That may be the best nickname you've ever come up with right there. Tony Stark.
He's Tony Stark, man. He is Iron Man. Coming up, do you feel the Avs have to win this game? Or would you still be okay with a Game 7 scenario? That's next.
Collapse. The Avs blew a 3-0 lead to St. Louis. Then after Meet the Greats goal for the ages, couldn't.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.